Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National VR conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, March 8, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Bowden, sorry, Director for the Office of Ticket Operation and Provider Support. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to our monthly VR cost reimbursement national teleconference call. We really appreciate your participating today on this call, and we have a full agenda with a lot of good information to share, from updating you on our upcoming virtual job fair, sharing information about our cost reimbursement updates, and also information about our ticket portal, as well as the other topics that are listed on the agenda. And as usual, after we cover the agenda topics, we'll then open up the lines for your questions. But as always, please remember that if you have questions after today's call, that you can always contact our VR help desk at vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Before we jump into the agenda items, we have our Deputy Associate Commissioner, Rob Sack, who has joined us today. So Rob may have a few words, and I'll turn it over to Rob.
Thanks, Regina, and good afternoon, everyone. It's great to have you participate, and we appreciate that you take the time out of your busy day to call in and participate in this call. We have a lot of good information to share with you, as Regina indicates today. I wanted to greet you and say hello. And without further ado, again, thanks for all your work that you provide to and service and support that you provide to our disabled beneficiaries. And without further ado, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Danielle Armstrong.
Hello, everybody. I'm Danielle Armstrong, the Vocational Rehabilitation Team Leader. Just really brief announcement. I wanted to thank you all, first of all, for all of the great topics that you sent in. Of course, we aren't going to address them all today, but we will address them on the next upcoming calls. Some of the questions that came in, we're preparing presentations for. You asked about 301. That's going to be upcoming. And we just want you to know we appreciate you sending in the topics. We are keeping track of all of them. They will be addressed on the calls going forward. And we just appreciate your participation. I'm going to turn it over now to Laura York to talk about the upcoming virtual job fair.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura York. I just wanted to, you may have all seen the web deliveries. I hope that you have. I just wanted to let you all know that we're having our second Ticket to Work virtual job fair on March 16th. And at this point, we have 30 employers scheduled to attend. All of these employers are federal contractors who are interested, particularly in hiring individuals with disabilities. And I will now go through the list of employers. It is rather long, so hopefully you will be interested. Before I go through the list, let me just quickly say that this is a targeted, it's a regional job fair. We're not looking nationwide this time. We're looking at D.C., Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Puerto Rico. We're looking for beneficiaries who are interested in working in those areas, also for beneficiaries who are willing to move should they be offered a job. Anyone in the country can attend as long as they are willing to move to one of those locations. We have 30 employers scheduled to attend, I'll now go through the list of employers. Amerimax, TD Bank, Anthem, BAE Systems, Turner Construction, B.B. Shanker, Maximus, Convent, Hyatt Hotels and Resorts, Raytheon, State of Maryland Office of Personnel Services and Benefits, Sirius XM Radio, Talbot Energy Systems, Princeton University, Petco Holdings, Community College of Philadelphia, Wesco International, GC Services, Central Corporation, Pfizer, Equova Water, Wells Fargo, Comcast, McMaster Carr, Dr. Pepper Snaffle Group, Transworld Systems Incorporated, American University, Marriott, First Community Bank, and ICI Services Corporation. Again, this is a targeted event. We're also, I just wanted to let you know that if you have beneficiaries who are work ready and are able to accept a job should it be offered, and they have their ticket assigned to you, again, very important that they have their ticket assigned at the time of the event. It's also very important that they be registered for the event and have the consent form signed. The process is that they will register and sign the consent form and send that consent form to you as their provider to have that on file in your office. If they are not registered at the, by the time the registration closes, they will not be able to participate in the event. We really are interested in having you help your beneficiary participate in the event, not only to register, but also to help them interact with recruiters and to get the most out of the event. So we really are looking forward to you and your work-ready beneficiaries participating. Again, not only to help them, your participation is really eagerly sought, not only to help them register, but to help them walk through the event and make the most of it and their interactions with beneficiaries. If you have any questions, please check out the yourtickettowork.com website. There are several gov delivery messages that have gone out about the job fair. And so please, we encourage you and your beneficiaries to participate. And again, that's on March 16th from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everyone. And now I will pass over, to Raquel.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel Donaldson. Just a few quick reminders and updates from cost reimbursement. The current month of earnings is still January. We haven't received any updated information since then for earnings. PVRs, we're asking that you do not fax documentation in regards to your PVR. That's a lot of paperwork that we receive through the fax, and we want to make sure we receive all the receipts for the PVR. So if you could mail the PVR back to us, we'd greatly appreciate it. Cost formulas, you're more than welcome to fax over to me, and I have been receiving them. I would just appreciate if you give me a heads up, fax me, call me, I'm sorry, not fax me, email me or call me just to let me know that it's coming so I can look for it. We share the fax machine, so just want to make sure that I receive your information so I can get it reviewed and approved and sent back over to you. That's it for me. Now I want to turn it over to Ms. Linda Custis.
Hi. I just want to let you know I'm very excited because we continue to host and hold the VR cost reimbursement and ticket training, and we have been able to do so at your request, and I'm real excited about that. For the past 2 days, Betsy Seminar Program Director for Rehab in Mississippi and Noreen Roca, who is the Employment Initiative Director from Utah, has been here with us for the training. So if any of you want to attend the training, just give me a call. My number is 410-966-6866. Or you can email me, linda.custis@ssa.gov. Thanks. I'd like to introduce Shada Roper. She will discuss VR codes.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for all the claims that you're sending in and working with us and all the help desk requests that you send, and you're trying to work with us as we are trying to work with you, so thank you for that. We have been reminding technicians to double-check their claims, but we've noticed quite a few incorrect voc rehab codes on that 199. So we're asking that you please either email the help desk if you do not know your provider code, or if you want to omit that information, that's perfectly fine with us, too. We'll get that information and input it in the system correctly. But we are looking at the claims, as Danielle said last time,
reviewing them as we go as much as possible to make sure that we're paying the right VRs and getting all the right information to you. Of course, with automation, hopefully all of that will be eliminated, and it's coming very soon. Yay for technology. So you shouldn't have any more problems with things like VR codes and such. With that being said, I'd like to pass it to Desiree Fitzgerald, our Deputy Director.
Hello, everyone. I thought it was time to give you an update on CUBER. Last year this time, when we pulled it down, we told you that we would hopefully bring it back, and we will be bringing it back, but we still have a ways to go before we can do so. We'll continue to let you know how things progress, but we had to get a new agreement with the Office of Child Support Enforcement. When we start doing CUBA again, we will be getting monthly data from them, which hopefully will put us on, equal footing. For some reason, the words didn't want to come out of my mouth. But, with you all, right now we continue to have, the situation where you have data in your system that we don't have in ours, but we're looking for a solution to that. I should also mention that if there's anyone still out there using the PPR, you should probably discontinue. We did not consider that a good data run. You would have to, put some effort into making it work for you. But for the most case, the agencies were submitting cases, and we weren't able to pay on those cases based on the information in our system. So we would say it's best to discontinue the use of the PPR. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that when we get to the automation this summer, all of your cost reimbursement casework will be in the portal, and you'll be able to use the feature there that allows you to know whether or not we have earnings in our record. But I'm not going to say too much about that. Katie maybe might want to touch on that. If not today, in the future, we'll be giving you more information along those lines. But I'll turn it over to Katie Streidinger to talk about the portal. Katie?
Hi, thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I did want to start with a question that came in when we were requesting information from the calls. I know that right now when you check on the ticket assignability for a beneficiary in the portal, you can get back one of two messages, either not in ticket program or not no information available. And I know it's a little confusing and you've been trying to figure out what the difference is. There is no difference. There was a creative programmer who decided that there should be two different messages for the same thing. They mean the same exact thing. The beneficiary is not in the ticket program. We are working on updating the messaging in the portal so it'll be less confusing going forward, but there is no difference. Those tickets, either message means a ticket is not assignable. Another thing that comes up very often is when you check the ticket assignability of a beneficiary, and you're checking a ticket that is already assigned or assigned to you, but then you see the in-use status says it is not in use. If the ticket is showing that it is assigned in that assignment box in the middle of the screen, that ticket is assigned. The in-use wording means that the beneficiary is not in use, most likely about 99% of the time, because the beneficiary has failed TPR. We are working on getting the portal updated so that it's clear that the beneficiary is not in use because they failed TPR. That is in the works. But I do want to reiterate that if you see assignment in that box in the middle and you see that it's assigned to you or assigned to someone else, that ticket is assigned. Do not look for that in-use message to tell you whether or not a ticket is assigned. The in-use is actually referencing whether the ticket is in use and has protection from CDRs. If the ticket is not in use, the beneficiary does not have protection. Once again, that's another messaging. We're trying to, tweak things in the portal to make them clearer. And I will continue to reiterate this on calls because it does come up very often. It is one of the most common questions I get. I see not in use, but it's assigned. And then I want to talk about the portal. As you may have heard, cost reimbursements will be added to the ticket portal this summer. This has been a long time coming, and we are excited that the new technology is almost here. I am not going to speak on the specific functionality on this call, but I will have more to report next month, so please make sure you call in. We hope to have more information to give you and a sneak peek of some screens. I don't have that ready for this call. That's a little too soon to give you that, but we the new functionality is coming, and we want to get you excited about it. We had a technical meeting on Wednesday, February 17th, to discuss the requirements for submitting electronic cost reimbursement claims in the portal. In the future, you'll be able to submit an XML file with all of your cost reimbursement claims that will then create work cases for our payment staff to process in our in-house system, ITOP. If your technical staff was unable to attend this call or did not receive the instructions, please email the VR Help Desk and we will send you the information. If you have any questions after the call we have on the 17th that you did not get answered, please do email the VR Help Desk and we will get back in touch with you. We are here to help you and get everything working. Once again, the VR Help Desk is the place to reach out to for any portal questions and anything to do with the functionality coming on the new electronic cost reimbursement that we gave a little overview of last month. So I'm going to send it back to Raquel for questions.
Thank you, Katie. Now we're going to go ahead, operator, if you could open up the lines for any questions, please.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment, please, for the first question. And your first question comes from an unknown caller. Caller, your line is open.
Unknown.
Caller, your line is open.
Hello?
Okay, next question, if we have anyone else.
Okay, and the next question comes from another unknown caller. Caller, your line is open.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, I didn't know if it was me or not. So this is Gina calling from Wisconsin.
Hi,
it should have my name, but it doesn't. I just had a quick question regarding, you said with the portal, you guys were talking about the files again. Oh, they answered it. And so you are able to upload the cases individually, and that would actually be the preferred method when doing the paperwork for claims when the electronic portal comes up?
Yes, once that's available, that will be the preferred method that you do and use the upload for your claims. It's going to be the fastest and most efficient way to get them to us once that becomes available.
You mean the upload or the individual file?
You will have a choice. The upload is where you can do a file, where you can do multiple, or you can do the individual. This is what that becomes available for your cases.
Okay, and are you going to take people for that as like a pilot?
Yes, we will. As we get closer to that, we will contact different individuals to ask for participation in the pilot.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from the line of Tom Shurig.
Yes. Raquel, this is a question for you, and just asking you to clarify when you said the current month of earnings that you have available is January 16. Now, I assume what you mean by that is that the quarter ended December 31st, 2015. That quarter of wages is what you now have uploaded. Is that correct?
Yes, the current, when she says the current month of earnings, that means the most recent month that we're showing earnings available in the record. We haven't gotten another file yet.
Okay, the reason I wanted to just clarify that is if, you know, the most recent quarter of earnings that you've received closed December 31st and you received it in January, I know as far as Maryland's wage history database being uploaded, it is not complete. The earnings have not been completely uploaded by the time it appears that file was sent to Social Security. So it's really incomplete as far as we're concerned for that fourth quarter of 2015.
Hi, this is Katie. I just want to jump in. So the way we get data from OXI is we get data from OXI in a batch form on a quarterly basis. So when we get the data, the last file we got from OXI was on January 15th. So we have a snapshot of what the data looked like in OXI's database on January 15th. Does that help?
Well, it helps, but what that says to me is that the quarter wages...
The earnings were posted on the 16th. We don't have them, and we're not going to get them until we get another file in April.
Yeah, and the point I'm making is that most of the wages for the fourth quarter of 2015, I know from Maryland, they're not uploaded until sometime later in January and by the end of February. So what you're receiving for the fourth quarter of 2015, I know at least from Maryland, is very incomplete data. For those first 2 weeks of you know, that first month after the close of the quarter, we see hardly any wages for that previous quarter already available in our Maryland unemployment database.
Would it be easier if we communicated on the calls the last time we received the data so you could from there backtrack of when you know that you would see it? Are we just not communicating? You know,
no,
we don't
here's
really
my-
know how soon the data, you know, we know that there's a delay with the data being populated on the file, like you said.
Now, here's my suggestion. I know as far as Maryland is concerned, our, you know, unemployment insurance wage history database is completely uploaded into their system by the end of the second month following the close of a quarter, which means February 29th. It would make more sense that then they would send you a complete file for that previous quarter's wages rather than sending it to you on January 15th and it being incomplete.
Well, actually, we're going to have them send us information every month in the future. That's part of what we're arranging to have happen. But right now, we get the data knowing that it has a data lag and also knowing that the states continue to report information each month and that eventually, you know, all the reporting that's going to happen will have happened. But, you know, we're not in a position to change the timing of when we get it because we have an agreement that's, you know, that's already under works, but we're going to be getting something every month. It should help us out in this situation.
Yeah, that should be much more usable data. Because right now, you know, what you have obviously isn't matching what we have, and I understand that you may be not be able to make that change in the short run. But thank you.
And I just want to get, I mean, no matter what we do, though, we're not going to get a daily update. We're never going to be able to, in real time, see what's in the database. You know, if you were sitting in there looking at the earnings that you can see, we're never going to be able to see the same exact date because we're only going to get some kind of batch file either monthly in the future or right now quarterly. We're still getting a snapshot.
Yeah, I understand
a little bit of a lag. There's, you know.
I understand that, and you know, that's why I made the suggestion of doing it at the end of the second month following the close of a quarter. But I understand, Raquel, also what you're saying, that, you know, that's not possible to do it, at least in the short run. We're looking forward to the monthly updating. That should help greatly.
All right. Thanks, Tom, for the call. Operator, do we have any more?
Yes, and your next question comes from the line of Mike Hermanson.
Hi, yes, this is Mike Hermanson in Montana, and I just had what I think is a quick question. I've got a few beneficiaries here in Montana that for various reasons, you know, what they've asked me to do is to permanently remove their ticket from the system, which, of course, as the VR agency, I can't do that. But is there someone that they can contact or a contact that they make in Social Security so that their ticket is permanently gone? They just don't want to be part of the ticket system.
You're saying you have a beneficiary, their ticket is currently assigned, or their ticket is unassigned, they just don't want to participate in the program? I'm just trying to understand.
Okay. Right now I've got more than one, and they aren't in use or they aren't assigned, but they just don't want to have they don't want to ever have a risk that could somehow be put in use or assigned, and they want taken out of the system. They just don't want to be part of the ticket to work system.
They could call the beneficiary call center if they don't want to participate in the ticket program and don't want their ticket to ever be in use or something. Is that right?
Thank you. I just want to make sure. So their ticket is currently in use, which is VR, is what you're saying, Mike?
No, it's not in use. I've taken it out of in use. But, you know, they're people that don't trust the system a lot, and, you know, I tell them it's out of in use and we don't plan on putting it in use, but they don't want to have it in the system at all. I mean,
okay, I'm sorry, we were having a sidebar here, but it sounds like that would be a situation where the Benny doesn't want marketing. If no EN contacts them, then the ticket won't be put in use. So we do have a mechanism to deal with that. If they contact the call center and ask that they not receive marketing, if they don't want to be contacted about participating, that's the only thing. The ticket does exist; it's an entitlement, but no one will contact them about it if they contact the call center and say that they would like to have that be the case.
Well, that might help. What would be the number for that?
Mike, that number is 1-868-968-7842. I'm sorry, it's 866-968-7842.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and there are no further audio questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to you.
Thank you all. I'm going to turn the call over to Rob, and he's going to tell you about when our next scheduled VR call is.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. The next all VR call will be April 12th. We ask that if you can please call in and participate, we will send you notification regarding the time and the number and so forth and the agenda. Just a point of clarification before we drop off. In regards, and I'm asking Laura, the states involved. I don't know if we mentioned New York when you.
Yeah, let me.
Could you?
Let me go over those states again.
And this is for the virtual job fair.
Yeah, for the virtual job fair on March 16th. We're targeting jobs in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Washington D.C., Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, and Puerto Rico. So again, an individual does not have to to be currently living in those states to participate. They can be living anywhere as long as they're willing to move to accept a job in one of those states or territories.
Thank you, Laura. So if you have beneficiaries who may be interested, we encourage you to register them for this event. And I'm looking around the room, I want to thank our staff and the managers who were able to participate and the support we got today from Maximus. And unless there's any other questions or comments, we'll go ahead and conclude this call. Thank you all very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.